Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are live in Miami, our final show of the week on a Friday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1. We have had an absolutely great week in Miami on the beach. Today we are packed. Aqib Talib, who's won a Super Bowl and been to a couple, including last year's, joins us in 15 minutes. Stephon Gilmore of the Patriots, who has faced Patrick Mahomes 3 times, will be joining us. All-time Hall of Fame great Michael Strahan is on the set with us as well today in 1 hour from now. Breaking it down, if you're a bettor, you play fantasy, you care about the game itself, Greg Cosell in 1 hour from now. Joy Taylor is joining me. We start now to talk about the actual game. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. I actually have a little surprise for you. I ran into Sam Darnold last night, and I went up to him, and I told him I work with you on The Herd, and I said, you know, Colin is a big fan of yours. He's going to be very jealous that I met you.
Really?
Yes, and he said, I know Colin is a fan, so I'm making sure I told you that this
morning. Wow. Well, I ran into some famous people, too, and I'll get back to that in a little bit. So I'll get Greg Cosell in 1 hour. Listen, I understand... I understand the media is in the story business. And it was funny, in the last 2 weeks, I was emailing with an NBA owner about the ratings problem. And I said, the problem this year, your stories in the NBA are not as good as the stories in the NFL. I said, the Lamar Jackson story, the Patrick Mahomes story, the decline of the dynasty Tom Brady story, all these young, fascinating kids. I mean, even Baker Mayfield, who was on our network this morning, and he was on a bad team, and I couldn't help but turn on Baker Mayfield and the Browns every week. I said, it's been a great year for stories in the NFL. And I said, it hasn't been a great year for stories in the NBA. Kevin Durant's hurt, Steph Curry's hurt, some load management. You know, most of the good players feel like they're in one city, Los Angeles. We are in the story business. So I always understand when the media goes gaga for a story. I think Patrick Mahomes is amazing. But this is the end of chapter one in about a 15-chapter book, and I think we're writing things and embellishing things that aren't true yet. Patrick Mahomes loses games and has bad games. He's won 27 games he started, and he's lost 8. And of his 8 losses, 6 have been in prime time. He's sub 500 in primetime games. He's 5-6. He's been unbelievably ordinary. And even when he hasn't been, his team has often let him down. His team is playing the better team, the 49ers, on Sunday. Both coaches are great. Skill players are exceptional. Kansas City's are better. Defensive line, big edge, in my opinion, by San Francisco. But this is a run oblivious offense in Kansas City. They're like 23rd in the NFL in running. So far in the playoffs, they beat Tennessee and Ryan Tannehill at home, and they beat dysfunctional Houston after falling behind 24-0 at home. They're not at home. This, in fact, is the first time Patrick Mahomes has ever played a postseason game not at home. And Greg Olsen, who has been in one Super Bowl, said, when you get used to relying on the energy of a home crowd and you come to a Super Bowl and a corporate crowd, it is weird and hard to get going.
I think back to that 15 team. We were so emotional. We were so riding high. We were played with great energy. We rolled through the playoffs. And we just really struggled in the playoffs, in the Super Bowl. We never got our rhythm. We were such a rhythm and an energy. And the energy in that stadium is zero. There's not a lot of true passionate fans. I mean, the NFC Championship, we're blowing out the second best team in the league, the Cardinals. Your fans are going crazy. People don't sit down. The Super Bowl crowd is just different. There was no energy. TV timeouts take 10 minutes. And we just never found our groove.
The better defense has won 6 of the last 7 Super Bowls, the only exception, New England, which had a good defense, beat Seattle on a play, or it would have been 7 of 7. Yes, San Francisco's quarterback is not as talented or as flashy as Kansas City. Let's let this thing bake with Patrick Mahomes. He's lost games, actually has struggled a tad more, as have the Chiefs in bigger games, and they race through the dysfunctional AFC this year. They got a little break when Baltimore Red Hot got knocked out. They got a little break when, you know, New England's not the same team they've been. Major injuries for the Patriots this year. I like Kansas City. Certainly think they can win, but this is the best defense they have faced all year. This defense in San Francisco, the Baltimore Ravens were putting up historic numbers. Remember that? They beat the Rams by a million on Monday night. And then San Francisco went to Baltimore, and Lamar Jackson passed for 100 yards. And the Ravens scored 3 points in the second half at home. And it was the fewest yards the Ravens have had all year. And it was the second fewest points the Ravens have had all year. I love Mahomes, and I think he's really good. And I get why sometimes we get ahead of ourselves in the story business. But I like San Francisco. Wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City won. But it should be noted, the best quarterback in the NFL when trailing, if it's close, was not Mahomes. Jimmy Garoppolo was rated #1 quarterback in the league passer rating when he trailed at any point of a game. That story's not as interesting. The Mahomes story's much more fascinating. All I'm saying is sometimes in sports, we grab the better story, not the better team. Let me segue to this. Aqib Talib in less than 10 minutes. I've had him on before. He's just fantastic. I was talking to him in the break room. Listen, sometimes with a lot of this social media, it's a little generational, right? Like, I like Twitter, although I think it's sometimes vulgar and vile and angry, but it's really a news information feed. That's really what it is. I follow, you know, your news sources and I get information. And you can have fun, but sometimes, you know, it feels a little older. Instagram is where all the lit people go. It's cooler, it's younger, it's a little hipper, it's a little sexier. And yesterday, Tom Brady went to Instagram and he sent a cryptic message. It's one of those things like, what color is the dress, blue or gold? It's a picture of him leaving the New England Patriots Stadium. Or maybe it's a picture of him entering the New England Patriots Stadium. But what it tells me is Tom is all up in his feels. Generally, when athletes go to Instagram to send a message, it doesn't turn out well. What this tells me is Tom obviously is agitated with New England, but it also tells me this relationship is completely strained. That Tom Brady would go to Instagram on Super Bowl week with a cryptic social media message. You know what Bill Belichick's doing. He's rolling his eyes at this. Now, some of that's generational. He's not an Instagram guru, being Belichick. But you know what this has become? One person in the relationship, Brady, is now very emotional, doesn't feel respected, doesn't feel beloved, doesn't even feel loved, and Belichick doesn't care. He's in the eye-rolling stage. Now, maybe some of it's generational, but he's not going to budge. He sees an older quarterback. Here's a number. Hit it or I'm out. If this wasn't a football relationship and it was simply just a relationship, you know it's bad when some person feels ignored, some person feels disrespected, and the other person is rolling their eyes at them. They did a study years ago at the University of Washington on what creates divorces. It's not money. No, they studied hundreds of couples, and with 99% certainty, they could predict a divorce. They could predict a divorce based on one emotional cue. When they interviewed the couples, if there was eye rolling and disrespect, One didn't listen to the other's needs. It always ended 99% certainty in divorce. This relationship is beyond strained. For Tom to post something on a Super Bowl week on an Instagram, that's not great. That's why I've said before, retiring, clean break, within a year, you don't mind not getting hit, feels right to me. I don't think what you do in a strained relationship is rush to get in another one, Chargers, Colts, Dolphins. But I thought that it wasn't about what Tom was saying. It was about the fact he posted it on Super Bowl week. Tells me all I need to know. Just an unhealthy relationship.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, I just talked to, this is fascinating. So Sam Farmer writes for the LA Times. He did a story this week on Adam Cook. That was Patrick Mahomes' high school football coach. So for all you parents out there that won't let your kids play other sports, Patrick Mahomes did not start at quarterback in high school as a freshman. He did not start in high school at quarterback as a sophomore. He was the shortstop and the point guard on the basketball team and the baseball team. And nobody knew, his coach didn't know, which sport is he going to play. So when you watch Mahomes play, you can see him sometimes sidearm it. That's the baseball shortstop coming out. And then you can see him do no-look stuff. That's the point guard coming out. In this world we live in, you got to get everybody, you know, to play one sport and to be dominant. And Urban Meyer and I talk about this. He's like, I want to see my linebackers have to defend on a basketball court. I want to see my offensive tackle before he goes all football. Can he play third base? Can he be in track? Can he play another team sport? So as Coach Adam Cook just talked about it, he said, you know, we didn't know. We thought he could be great in basketball. And he was really better in basketball early. Then he was better at shortstop early. And all of it, he didn't win the job. He didn't win the job as a freshman. His buddy beat him out, his childhood friend. He didn't win the job as a sophomore. And then all of a sudden he gets to be a junior and he starts moving into the football thing. But, you know, the reality is with this stuff, sometimes as parents, more hours, 10,000 hours, just play this, being able to do multiple things. And now when you watch Patrick Mahomes, I mean, you can really see the entirety. You know, by the way, Tom Brady played baseball and got drafted. Russell Wilson played baseball. Kyler Murray played baseball. This stuff helps.
I'm a huge believer in, I guess what I would call it, cross training. So when I was in high school, everyone on the football team ran track. Now, they might not have all run, but you were going to do an event. You were going to do training. You were going to stay in shape, or you were going to throw, you know, javelin or discus or shot put or whatever, the bigger guys. It also doesn't wear down certain parts of your body, because even though 10,000-hour rule, like, obviously that's going to make you great at something, but it's also going to put a lot of wear and tear on your body before you get to that, the pro level. It's very important.
Yeah. By the way, Andy Reid has been talking. This is one of these games where we have an incredible flashy quarterback, and then we have a little bit more of what people perceive as a system quarterback. You can win both ways in the NFL. You can win both ways. We've had quarterbacks who were flashy in this game. We've had Elway. We've had Favre. We've had Marino. We've had Aaron Rodgers. We have Patrick Mahomes. We've also had Breeze, and we've had Brady, and we've had Montana. You know, Russell Wilson, obviously, I think falls into the flashy category. Andy Reid this week, I'll play a little bit, was talking about Jimmy Garoppolo, who we've all sort, I haven't, because I think Garoppolo's tremendous. He's 7-1 in primetime games. That's better than Mahomes. His winning record is outstanding. He's won with two teams, two coaches. Andy Reid talked about the quarterback nobody's talking about.
I respect the heck out of him. I think Jimmy... They decided they've been running the ball here, but Jimmy, if you really look at his quarterback ratings, his percentages, all the statistical facts about him, you see that he's a heck of a quarterback throwing the football. So you've got to, when you come in to play the 49ers, you better be ready to play a complete game in the run and pass game.
By the way, don't forget the last three Super Bowls. I know y'all love flash, but the last three Super Bowls, it was Brady against Goff, Brady against Nick Foles, and Brady against Matt Ryan. That's your last three Super Bowls. So the idea that flash wins this thing, Flash sometimes blows us away. It doesn't win this game all the time, and it doesn't get to this game as much as you think. Again, Garoppolo is the best quarterback in the NFL when trailing. He's got the highest passer rating. He is the best fourth quarter passer rating quarterback when trailing. He has the best primetime record, 7-1. In terms of career starts, he's got the highest win percentage for anybody over 25 career starts in the NFL. So, and I know a lot of you are into this. He's got the coach, he's got the defense, he's got the running games. You just got to settle down on this stuff. He's a slow growth quarterback. So was Brady. So was Aaron Rodgers, sat for 3 years. Drew Brees starts in San Diego, then goes to New Orleans. Listen, some stocks are Bitcoin. They fly up, crash down. Some stocks, you know, I always say this about business. You forget how long it took for Amazon to rule the world. Amazon was an online bookstore. 10 years later, here comes retail's biggest tsunami. You forget that Netflix started selling VHS tapes. You forget that Starbucks started in 1971. Starbucks didn't really have a national imprint of note. I didn't start drinking it until the mid-'80s, the late-'80s. I mean, literally, they didn't brew coffee initially. I mean, so you think everything is like the overnight sensation. The truth is there are a lot of slow growth models to everything. I remember when I started the show, I'm like, I told the staff, don't look at ratings for 18 months. You know how long it took to make ESPN? How long it's going to take for us to keep competing and keep competing? It's just the reality of it. So next hour, we're packed, by the way. Juju Smith, we don't have time now. It's just too late. We do not have time. Greg Cosell, Stephon Gilmore, Taysom Hill, and Michael Strahan will be joining us. We will be packed for the rest of the day. By the way, Jimmy Garoppolo said something I want to touch on. And I know I've been very pro Jimmy Garoppolo this week because I like San Francisco. And I do think Mahomes is flashier and more fun, and he's getting more media coverage. I get it. I totally understand it. Jimmy Garoppolo is not as flashy. It's more of a run-centric offense with a defensive line. For the record, that's exactly what Tom Brady's teams were when he first made it into the NFL. But, you know, I was sitting around thinking this morning as Garoppolo was talking about his experiences with Tom Brady, how he could watch, how he talked. And he said, you know, I didn't ever want to get in too close to Tom. I didn't want to be annoying to Tom. He goes, but, you know, he invites me to the Kentucky Derby. It was a tight circle. I was one of the boys. He pitched me a lot of crap. I pitched him some. But, you know, the reality, here's what Garoppolo and Patrick Mahomes have in common. This is what they have in common. If you told me, now, the number is very important here. But if you told me today, right now, over the next decade, now, I want you to think about that number because that's not going to count Brady. It's not going to count Big Ben. You know, Phillip Rivers is going to leave. Now, he may not find another team. If we're talking about the next 10 years in the NFL and you told me who's going to win the most games at quarterback, I'm not going to predict or project who's going to win Super Bowls. I would put Mahomes, Lamar, Wentz, Garoppolo, and Russell Wilson in. You say, what about Deshaun Watson? I do not trust the Houston Texans organization. I could easily see Deshaun Watson not winning another division. Well, what about Sam Darnold? I love Sam, but I read a story yesterday, and Joy's hanging out with Sam and doesn't tell me until the show. I saw a story yesterday where the locker room is fractured. So if you're telling me I got to pick five quarterbacks over the next decade to win in this league, you know what all of them have in common? Mahomes has Reed, Wentz has Doug Peterson, Lamar's got Harbaugh, Jimmy's got Kyle Shanahan, and Russell Wilson has Pete Carroll. So that's where they have in common. There's different means and ways to get to the wins, but I think Garoppolo and Mahomes are going to be here for the next 10 years. You can look up in 10 years who won more games. It's not just about talent. I love Deshaun. I think Deshaun and Sam Darnold are very similar players. I don't think they throw the prettiest football. I think they're playmakers. They often throw better moving out, ad-libbing off script than they do in the pocket. Sometimes they don't look comfortable in the pocket. Both have played behind awful offensive lines. It's been the worst part of their football team with good, sometimes great defenses. But I could see Darnold fizzling out and having a lot in 8-8, 8-8, 7-9, 9-7 seasons because he just doesn't have the right coach. I mean, if Adam Gase doesn't win this year, it's over. Now, Deshaun Watson's got Bill O'Brien, who's not going to get fired because he's won divisions and he just now signed a deal, so he's the head coach and the GM, so he's not going to fire himself anytime soon. But I don't think that's a well-run organization. So I will say that there's a lot of different ways to do this. We get caught up in succeeding early. In my life, the people I've worked with, almost everybody that goes slow growth has some obstacles, has some hurdles, but gets with a good organization. You don't rely on them. The downside to having Mahomes' initial burst of talent and stats, the pressure is on Patrick Mahomes. If he does not win Sunday, you're going to hear stories. Mark my words, they'll be written all over the country by Monday. Is Andy Reid the right guy for Patrick Mahomes? This is 2 years in a row they should have won the Super Bowl. You're not going to get that with Garoppolo. There's more patience. You don't have an owner hearing, I've got to win Super Bowls or this is a disaster.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This is Super Bowl week, and somebody who spent a lot of his recent career in these games, Stephon Gilmore, who is now the best pure corner in the NFL. Aqib Talib told me off air today, said that's the best player playing corner in the league. Richard Sherman came out and said you should have won the Defensive Player of the Year. You've played Mahomes several times. His passer rating against you is 53.4%. So, Stephon, what is the secret to Mahomes, or is there one?
I just think you have to play tight coverage in the secondary, and you have to trust your rush to get there. If you give him a lot of time, he's hard to make plays on the ball with. He can get outside the pocket and make plays. He has a strong arm. I remember a throw he made on me scrambling outside the pocket, 50 yards down the field on the run across his body.
I remember that.
He's tough to cover.
Now, is the Chiefs' offense sophisticated, or do they kind of line up and say, stop us?
They do a lot of motioning, a lot of things they do that make the defense keep thinking. They have a lot of speed. So you have to respect that, and they have a great quarterback. So they have a lot of areas on their team that you have to really focus on and trust your teammates to make plays.
Now, they don't have much of a running game. You knew that. When you watch them on film before you have played them,
did you
kind of know coming into a game, like, this is what they're going to do? I mean, did you have a sense? They're not very run-centric.
Yeah, I think they run the ball, but it's different ways. They do motions and hand it off to Tyreek Hill, so it's a different running game. But you kind of know what they do, but they always have a little wrinkle in to throw you off guard. And I think Andy Reid and the offensive coordinator does a great job by breaking down defenses and exposing them.
You were in Buffalo to start your career. Then you went to New England, and you were very good there. You have become the best player, the best corner in the NFL. We all know Belichick's really smart, but you got to be coachable. Obviously coachable. You're the guy on the team that he pays big money to.
Yeah.
Did Bill teach you things about football you didn't know?
Yeah, he did. I mean, ever since I've been in New England, I've gotten smart as a football player. He's taught me how to, undercut routes. He's taught me how to, play different players different. So early in my career, I kind of just played off my athletic ability. And since I've been in New England, I got smarter, so it allowed me to play faster and make more plays.
Do you watch a lot of film now?
I watch a lot of film. There's probably not one pass that I haven't seen thrown to the guy that I'm covering, so I watch a lot of film.
I ask all great corners this. Is there a receiver in the league, you probably don't want to answer this, who I would be surprised, but are there receivers who maybe not be Pro Bowl receivers, but they're tough for you to guard, that there are guys that have different angles, body types?
For me, it was, I think Devontae Adams.
Big.
From Green Bay was pretty good. He has good releases. He's tough to stay in front of. And he had Aaron Rodgers to get him the ball, so he was pretty tough.
Are Kansas City's wide receivers, when you jam them, you're a physical corner.
Yeah.
Are they comfortable? Can you knock them off their routes?
I think you can. You can get them off their routes. You can jam them and frustrate them. And you have to rely on, like I said, your defensive line to get to the quarterback. So, but it's only take one play for those guys. They have so much speed. One play can get them 60 yards down the field, so that's the thing you have to worry about.
What do you run the 40 in? Like, what is your speed? 4.4?
running a 4.38 coming out. So
how fast is Tyreek Hill?
He's fastest player I ever played against. He's probably 4.2. He's so fast.
So he's the first guy in your life, Stephon.
Yeah.
That you're running full speed and he's pulling away.
Yeah. He's the first guy that if he get in front of you one step, it's probably a touchdown. You know, not too many guys can run away from me like that, but I feel like if he get one step in front of me, it's a touchdown.
Are super, but you've played in so many big games. Let's now talk about coming into this game. Mm-hmm. Stephon, you've done it multiple times. Go back to your first Super Bowl. Is it a little jarring? Is it overwhelming at all?
I think my first Super Bowl, me being in Buffalo, I didn't go to the playoffs 5 years, and then I go to New England my first year and go to the Super Bowl, and it was tough. It was still football, but a lot went on to it with the media, with the hype in the game. But I think the second year, I was more used to it, and, you know, I played better in the second year. So I just think it's still football, but it's definitely an adjustment.
When you – like last year, for instance, you were very good. You had a great Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The halftime's longer. The timeouts are longer. Do you have to be more focused, especially against the Mahomes and Jimmy Garoppolo? Did you find in a Super Bowl it's easier to get distracted because the length of halftime, the length of timeouts?
I don't think so, because Bill does a great job of explaining that to you, explaining like you have to stay warm at halftime because it's going to be longer. So, I mean, he's been to a lot, so he knows what to expect. So I think we was prepared each and every game in the Super Bowl.
Stephon Gilmore, best corner, Richard Sherman says, should be the defensive player of the year. You're a great player, but New England is also the ultimate system. Do you feel like sometimes, listen, I'd be much more celebrated with more commercials, you know, as a Cowboy, but you are in such an incredible system, we don't talk about the individuals much. Have you ever felt that in New England, you sacrifice a little?
I don't think so, because, you know, coming from where I came from, I feel like in New England, you make a play, everybody talks about it because you're on a big stage. So when you're making plays in New England, that's all you have to do to, you know, get individual attention. So I don't look at it that way. I just try to focus on, you know, my job and making plays each and every week. And I feel like that'll take care of for itself.
So Tom Brady was on Instagram yesterday. Now, Joy says, you know, Instagram, she's better on Instagram than I am. But she said that she thinks the Tom Brady thing could eventually be a commercial. He came out on Instagram. We can't tell if he's walking into the stadium or it's a message that I'm leaving New England. Just take me into on the average work week in New England. Is Belichick tough on Tom?
Yeah, he's tough on everybody. You know, he's tough on him. He's tough on me. But I feel like that's what makes him a great coach. You know, he get the best out of every player consistently every week. He treat everybody the same. So that's the thing that I respect about him, and that's the reason why I think he's a great coach.
Do you think Tom will stay?
I think he'll do what's best, you know, for himself. And I think the team will do what's best for them. Players change every year. Obviously, he played 20 years in New England. You know, I can't see him in another jersey, but I think ultimately everybody will make the best decision for themselves.
How long have you been in the league? 8 years? Nine?
Eight. I'm going on nine this year.
Can you imagine playing 20 years?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a long time.
It is unbelievable. So you say Belichick's actually barked at you a few times? He'll call you out?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He has a couple of times. He does. But when he does it, you know, he's doing it for a reason, you know. And if you take a step back and look at it, you learn a lot from it, and you probably won't make that mistake again.
So when you watch this game, you face Patrick Mahomes three different times, and you've had great success with him. In fact, if I looked at the numbers this morning, he doesn't throw much to you. He'd rather throw away.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Patrick's figured out. Andy Reid's told him, stay away from Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. When you look at this team, they've never played a playoff game away from Arrowhead. So they've only played. So that's kind of something, because the Super Bowl, as you know, the crowd's different. It's kind of corporate. It's not. It's kind of a weird game, right?
That's true. Yeah.
So your gut feeling on who wins Sunday? Your gut feeling?
If I had to pick, I would. I just think Pat Mahomes is probably the best quarterback I've played against, and I feel like he has that, you know, that killer instinct in him, and I feel like he can lead his team to win, but you never know. It's, you know, San Francisco got a great defense. You know, they can get to him. They got Sherman. They have talent, so it's going to be a good game.
It's great meeting you. Continued success. The best corner in the NFL, Stephon Gilmore. Many more years to come, hopefully, for you Patriot fans. It's in that silver and blue jersey. Great meeting you, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Miami Beach. So Michael Strahan's not only a Hall of Famer, I remember covering the game in Arizona with you and the Giants. So it's a weird story. I lived in Connecticut. This is, by the way, brought to you by Mercedes, best or nothing. And you played the Patriots week 17. Good game in the Meadowlands. Good, mm-hmm. tough game. Lost. And then all of a sudden, a month later, you shocked the world. Just go back to the 2 weeks previous to the Super Bowl. They're undefeated. I mean, you guys were barely in the game. Nobody talked about you. How much of week 17 helped in the Super Bowl?
If it weren't for week 17, we wouldn't have made the Super Bowl. And if we had, I don't think we would have beat the Patriots. Playing them in week 17 was weird because we knew we were in the playoffs. So the coaches, they don't put much in the game plan. They don't want to show anybody else what you're going to do. So after the last game of the regular season, the question was, do we sit or do we play? And Coughlin, of course, Tom Coughlin, you're going to play, son. You're not going to sit here and put the backups in. And we were getting after them. We were really getting after them. We almost beat them in that game to end the perfect
season.
Your
defensive front was given their O-line issues.
Yeah, and we thought, okay, OC said to me after the game, when we see them again, we're going to beat them. And I'm thinking, well, the only way we see them again is in the Super Bowl, and I don't know. I don't know if this is the team that's got to get through everybody to get there. I mean, I've been on some teams I felt possibly were better, had better players in certain positions, but it was something. We were really a team. But when he said that, I was like, okay, at least he's confident. And every week we just started marching, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then the Dallas Cowboys were strong. I'm really worried about the Cowboys. And then we went in and we beat Green Bay. And the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, it was weird because Coach Coughlin had myself, Amani Toomer, and Gray Rugemer, who's a long snapper with the Patriots when they won, talk to the team. Now, Amani and I, we were on a losing Super Bowl team. We were playing against, you know, the Baltimore Ravens in 2001. But our conversations were all very similar. Enjoy the week. Like, enjoy it. It's fun. Don't get so bogged down that it's the Super Bowl. And don't get in a situation where, you know, once they kick off the ball, it's just football. You can overthink this so much, and you can be stiff and, like, overwhelmed with all the emotion. And I think that's what happened in 2001. So we're at practice in Arizona. Coach Coughlin has an In-N-Out burger truck pull up, and that is so not him at that, you know. And so he's out there eating In-N-Out burgers, got ketchup running off his on his T-shirt, running down his cheek and everything else. But just to see him like that and see how everybody was so relaxed after telling them to relax actually scared me. I said, we're too relaxed.
Let me ask you, was Tom, before you took the field, because I remember watching that game, and I'm watching it with friends, and the first series, I think they tried a reverse or something, and my friend said, New York's winning all the individual battles up front, all of them.
Yeah.
And that's really, as you know, the way to beat a great team is disrupt the offensive line.
The best pass defense is a pass rush.
Did you know, or did you come to the sidelines, Michael, first or second series, and look at OC and like, this is different?
Well, what was crazy, we were hitting Brady so much the first few series that I personally thought it was a joke. I thought they were trying to trick us. Like, I don't know who's going to set your quarterback to take shots to trick the other team, but we're getting to him so often. If you're not there, then OC's there. If we're not there, then Tuck is there. If we're not there, Fred Robbins is there. And we're in Kavika Mitchell. Like, everybody is hitting him. And it's like, how are we getting there so easy? It doesn't even feel like we're really working. We have just started out. We're not even in our groove yet. And once we started doing that, now you saw Brady get mad, Tom slamming the ball. He's screaming at his guys. You go, oh, we got him. Like, this is not
Tom Brady. They're frustrated.
Like, they're frustrated. He's frustrated. I love you too, ladies. And
the ladies love Michael.
Oh, hey, man. You know, usually it's the mothers and the grandkids. And, you know, I take the individual right now. But it is so crazy that we were hitting them so often, the frustration that came about. And it just built our confidence. It just built our confidence. Because this, I remember Plexico posted something on Instagram today, the clip of when he said, we're going to beat them 17 to 21 or something. And Tom Brady says, oh, you're only going to score 17? Okay, he doesn't play defense.
I remember that.
And I retweeted it. And I love Tom. It's my boy. That's my business partner in religion, the sports business that we do. But I texted back to commented on Plastico, said, you missed it. You gave them 3 extra points. Because we were just barnstorming, man. We were coming. It was unbelievable.
Now, late in that game, Michael, it's a difference between sealing a regular season game and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You're not a nervous player. You are big in big games. But you look up at that clock 2 minutes to go. Was the heart beating a little faster for your first Super Bowl win? End of that game trying to hold on to that thing.
Oh, heck yeah. You're on the field and they had one more drive and you're thinking, the Patriots always seem to win.
They
always seem to come up with a way. And Brady threw a heck of a ball that Randy Moss almost caught.
Yep.
So you're just like, okay, if you have anything left in your tank, I've never been as exhausted ever in football game than I was at the end of that one. When they said leaving on the field, I left it. I had nothing else to give. And just watching the guys go out there and just handle business and finish it up was amazing, because this was the most unlikely Super Bowl win. That team was stacked. That team would beat everybody and score 40 points a game. And here we are, a bunch of vagabonds, a bunch of gypsies rolling to town with a caravan. I felt like we were out there just raggedy everything, uniforms. And we beat a team that was seen as one of the greatest teams of all time.
Do you see any similarities between the Niners' defense and yours?
Absolutely. Being at the NFC Championship game a few weeks ago, watching those guys come off the ball across the board is a thing of beauty if you like watching the defensive linemen play. These guys go at it 100% every single play.
So it's different in person than on TV.
I thought it was different in person than on TV. And I saw Bosa before the game, and I told him, I said, hey, you know, it's really amazing to watch you play, because you play with the way I believe you should play anything you do. But every play is if it's your last. You never know. Every play is important. You come off that ball as if every play is your last play. And he plays like that. That D-line plays like that. And you can tell they're like we are. They're in competition with each other. Now, don't, you know, I love OC. I love Tuck and all those guys. But one of them got a sack. We were like, we would applaud and high-five you. But in our heads, we're like, oh, I got to get one now. You know, we didn't just say, okay, he's got a sack, we're good. No, no, no. You do it, I got to do it better. And that's the competition it seems like they have when they play, and that's why all of them get after the quarterback, and they have a rotation. So if you're an offensive lineman and you're watching film on these guys, you know, you better get your sleep.
Do you know early in games, I mean, you can make adjustments. How long does it take, Michael, for you to know, for a Nick Bosa to know, he can't block me? I mean, you've been in a lot of games.
Oh, man. Sometimes pretty fast, sometimes not so it takes a while. Sometimes you're like, it's just going to be a battle the entire game. But the eyes don't lie, Colin. When it comes to dating, the eyes don't lie. You can look, you're married. You looked at your wife, and you knew if she liked you or not from the first second you looked at her.
I knew it.
The eyes don't lie. She probably didn't know. But
yeah, my eyes didn't lie. Mine didn't lie.
Your eyes didn't lie.
Her eyes were confused. She didn't know what to make of me.
But it's the same thing in football. When you're out there and it's man on man and you're going at this guy and you're just both the physicalness of it, and you're looking at a guy, you can tell in his eyes, does he want to be here right now?
Really?
Are his hands full and he's realizing it? Can't hide. You cannot hide it in your eyes. And if you pay close attention as a player, my whole thing was, I'm just going to try to beat it out of you. I'm just going to be more physical. I'm going to run all day. I'm going to give you more than you can handle. We may not win the game, but you're going to respect me at the end of it. And there's nothing better, I must admit, than when you're going against a guy and you look in his face and you realize, oh, he does not want to be here. His hands are full. I'm going to have a lot of fun today.
No, I call it the octagon test. You watch those UFC fights sometimes and you're like,
yeah,
they don't want to be there.
Yeah.
The first time in their life, They were the tough kid in high school. Mm-hmm. They met their match, Conor McGregor. They just don't want to be in the ring with him.
And everybody has somebody who can beat them. I mean, that's the thing. And a lot of times, the person who handles you may not be a guy who everyone in the league knows or goes, oh, man, that
you
guy.
Had, who gave you most trouble?
Oh, man, the most trouble I got.
Walter Jones, you ever play him?
No, Leon Searcy.
Really?
Leon Searcy and
why?
Because Leon Searcy was shorter than I was. He was just stout. He had the hands of stone.
You hated him.
And he was one of those guys. You looked in his eye and you're like, oh, he's not going anywhere all day long. And Eric Williams with the Cowboys, another one. He wasn't as strong as Leon, but Eric was a competitor. He had a nastiness about him that no one else had. And I know I had a lot of these battles with John Runyon, but he was another guy. He was a heck of a competitor, man. And my last year playing against when I knew I was going to retire before that, even before the Super Bowl had we gone or not. And just going against John, I was after that last year, I was tired. Like, I've done this enough. This is I'm done fooling with you.
By the way, you lost. You were a bigger player, and you're a smart guy. So like most smart linemen, you lost weight. You look fantastic.
Thank you, sir.
When you look at old pictures of you, what do you see?
I know why you're bringing this up. Because Joy says she has a picture when I was at the Pro Bowl when she was a lot with Jason back in the day.
What'd you look like?
Okay, Colin, I looked probably like I was sucking on an air tube for about 2 months.
It's not the best picture you've ever taken.
What? But, really?
That's why I've never posted it. It's a great throwback Thursday. But I was like,
you should be proud.
Okay, my head was about three times the size it is right now.
I mean, it's probably I had no 15 facial years hair. Ago.
I hadn't worn off the baby fat yet.
That's right.
Yeah, I still had the baby fat in my 30s.
And look at you now, Blair.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, good luck Sunday.